blessed that they are here with us. We are blessed to all the visitors that are chose to be with us this morning as well. So we have a topic. How many of you here, if you don't feel like answering, that it will be fine. How many of you here have either a computer or iPhone or some kind of a cell phone? How many of you? All right. So when you have a phone, you want to have a lot of bytes to it, right? It has to be with a lot of megabytes. When you have a computer, you need it to have megabytes. And I always found very interesting that Apple chose to have a symbol of an apple with a byte. And I always thought why they chose that symbol. And they have a slogan that says, think different. To think different doesn't not necessarily means that you have to think the wrong way or you have to be rebellious. I don't think the original, when they decided to choose those symbols, was meant to be, let's be rebellious. But they were asking, I dare you to use your reason, ability, your mind the best way you can. And so when we use our minds the best way we can, we always avoid some bites. Instead of getting some bites, we avoid some bites. So the title for our message today, and I think the symbol gives you an idea. We put this symbol together, the bite. What do you see in the word bite? Can you see? There's two words in the word bite. There is the B, which is a reflection of existence. We all understand what B means. I am means B is to be alive, to have existence. So to be. And like Shakespeare said, to be or not to be. I say I have always to be, because not to be is not an option. And so you see the B, and then between the B and the E, you see it. You must be it, but don't bite. All right. What is a temptation? Have you ever thought about the word temptation, right? It's so common. If you come to church, you'll hear that word temptation once in a while. Temptation, a strong urge or desire to do or to have something, especially a short-term pleasure that conflicts with a long-term goals or moral principles. Every human being is tempted. Even human beings that do not know yet the distinction between right and wrong. They have not reached the age of accountability. They are 6 or 5, they are below 7 years of age. So they do not have a complete understanding about what is right and wrong. They have a feeling, but they do not know very clearly. So every human being is tempted in one way or the other. But the distinction is, when you reach the age of accountability, temptation is something that you act on it with intent. And that is what makes a very huge difference. Yes, that heel of temptation. In the Bible, it is an enticement to act in disobedience against God's will. And I put in the back a symbol of God's will. Do you know anyone who try clearly to justify, it is okay to replace God's will with my own traditions? Yes, you Seventh-day Adventists, you keep the Jewish Sabbath, you legalists. I'm free. I'm under grace. I'm entitled to disobey God's will. I go to church when I please. It sounds like Cain, doesn't it? Here is temptation. Three types of temptation. Pay close attention to this because this is common in almost every circumstance where temptation takes place. The appetite. That's why I chose the title, The Bite. The appetite. You know, do you know why eating is a very common temptation to all of us? Because we all need to eat. We need to eat in order to survive, in order to acquire energy. The energy that we need in order to function, in order to produce something. So we need energy. So that's for we eat. But the problem is that sometimes we eat not with the intent to get energy, but to get pleasure. That's when temptation works. Good for food, Satan told Eve. It is good for food. By the way, not everything that smells good is right to be eaten. I have seen people eating stuff that makes me vomit. They eat some worms, they call shrimp. They collect trash. All their existence to collect trash, and the people take that thing. Oh, I feel like vomit. And cucaracha, they eat cucaracha too. Do you know what cucaracha is? Lobster. Cucaracha of the sea. And also, pleasing to the eye. By the way, pleasing to the eye not always has to do with food. Sometimes we do wear things that is pleasing to the eye, and sadly sometimes to pleasing to the eye of somebody else. Sometimes we become an instrument of temptation to somebody else. We choose to please somebody else's eyes. And sometimes it's not the spouse, it's somebody else. Pride and power. By the way, this is not a male thing. Every human being is affected by pride. I don't find it a surprise that I is right in the middle of pride. Pride was the first sin, the father and mother of every other sin that existed. Gain wisdom and to be like God. Anybody here wants to be like God? You don't have to be. You don't have to want that. You already are. God says God created us on His image. The only thing is that we messed up, so we don't look so much like the image. But don't worry, the time is coming when the Lord will fix all the things that Satan has and evil has done to us. The Lord will fix it. He will fix it. Amen. Yes. Adam and Eve were tempted. Now, if Adam will be here, and I would ask Adam, who tempted you, Adam? Who do you think Adam was going to say? This is more or less what Adam will say. My twin sister tempted me. I mean, my wife. But what he should really say, it is my own flesh tempted me. And I don't mean Eve. You know when he said, when he saw Eve for the first time, he says, "My bones of my bones, flesh of my flesh, she is." And they became one. So when he pointed his finger to his wife, he was supposed to be pointing the finger to himself. Because nobody forced us to do what we do not want to do. Temptation is an act of the individual. We choose Satan told her, told Eve, if we ask Eve, and Eve, who tempted you? Eve would say, the serpent. Of course, you know that she knew that it was not the serpent. How do I know that? Because Eve was created very intelligent. So was Adam. And when God told Adam and Eve that all the animals will be under your care, you have dominion over them, they knew all of them. And by the way, Eve and Adam never saw one single animal talk English or Hebrew or Aramaic or whatever language it is. None of them talked. How come this one is talking? That in itself is a warning. She knew that something was wrong, but she kept listening. When you visit your email, and then there is a strange email there, something that you do not recognize. It tells you that you're gonna win $500 if you click here. How many of us sometimes, just for curiosity, we clicked? And by the way, when you clicked, somebody somewhere makes a connection with your computer. And they may go after your bank account. And instead of getting 500, you may lose 500, or God forbid, even more than that. So please, if somebody calls you by phone and says, this is the RRS, don't spend a second talk to them, because believe me, if the RRS wants to find you, they're not going to just give you a phone call with some foreign accent. They will come and collect from you. So be careful. Don't take that bite. Now, the wages of sin is what? Take a bite. Yes? Eat. Even the word death is asking us to have a bite. But the free gift, thank God so much that that part of this text ends this way. But the free gift of God is eternal life. What do you see in the middle of life? What do you see in the middle of life? If. Why is if in the middle of life? Because you have to choose not only to accept, but to give. It's an optional. Because God created us with the freedom of choice, so we have the option. And I hope you choose to have life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6, 23, New Living Translation. By the way, Adam and Eve, when they were created, they were created to be eternal. Nothing that God does is just for a short. Everything that God does is to be eternal. When God creates you, my brother and sister, He creates you to be eternal. You don't look eternal. Okay, God creates you to be eternal. Say with conviction and repeat many times over and over again. Why sometimes we take so much time on the negatives, but in the positives we are so shy about it? Yes, we are created to be eternal. When you get up from the bed in the morning, get up as somebody eternal. When you make choices, when you relate to other people, remember your choices, you are eternal. Nothing should deny you of this eternal gift, which is life that God has given you. Cain was tempted. And what did he do? He volunteered to become the first Satan's child among humans. He became the offspring of Satan. And that's when it starts all the false religions in the world. And they multiply and they are all around us. They are everywhere, every country, every continent. There are the falsest religions. What is the concept? I do as I please. I don't do as God requests. oh, but the Bible says, this is what the Bible says. Oh, but my church does this way. Have you heard that before? I heard that so many times. Sometimes people will say to people, you know the truth. Why don't you take the step towards being baptized and guaranteed in God's grace you have eternal life? Oh, later. Why you delay? Oh, because I wonder what my family will feel. My family will disown me. And I have a case in my life that we baptized somebody and the whole family never talked to them again. And put pressure on them so heavy. Some of them went back to their families, left the church and went back to their families because they couldn't stand. And there are some churches out there that, you know what they call disfellowship? We say that this terminology in our church, and some excommunicate. They just push the person out. I was listening to some Amish people that became Seventh-day Adventists, and they shun them, meaning their mothers don't talk to them, their fathers, their siblings, nobody. Not only they push them out, but they don't let them take anything, any possession. And then for some people to give everything to God in those circumstances is you have to admire. Cain was tempted, and instead of saying no, he accepted. You will be accepted if you do what is right. This is God talking to Cain, try to reason with him. He says, Cain, if you do what is right, you will be accepted. But look the if. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it. You must be Lord of your will, of your desires, and be its master. This is what God told Cain. Imagine if Cain would have said, okay, Lord, I'm going to take my pride away and I will surrender my will to you. By the way, some of us, sometimes we act like Cain as well. Sometimes you talk to our children, no matter how old they are, we talk to them and sometimes they say, oh, I'm old enough. I want to do my own way. And I hear Cain's voice right there. It says, yeah, my own way. Job was tempted. But the Bible says in no way he sinned against the Lord. Job thought it was God who was doing this to him. Abraham was tempted. And he assumed that God wanted him to kill his son. He was tempted. And the list, you can go through the Bible. You see one very common one that we know. Remember David. We remember Samson. There are so many examples. But some, they fall into temptation, but they immediately repent and seek forgiveness. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. By the way, I use this verse very frequently, because there is some very wrong, heresy. I'm going to use that expression. In every single church, even some among Seventh-day Adventists as well. Because sometimes our knowledge of God is so limited that we hear people saying things and we repeat it. Some people say, last time, 2 weeks ago, when we talked about being afflicted, many people think that God twists our arm to force us to do his will. So what would be the value of obedience if obedience is imposed? Every single time the Lord wants our obedience as a gift of love, not as forced. That's why we have a freedom of choice. Of course, we face the consequence if we choose different. God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do what is wrong. And he tempts no one. I took the time to look in original in Greek, the word used tempt here. It means to test, to prove, to tempt, to afflict. God does not tempt, does not test, does not. Why? Because God knows everything. God doesn't need to torture me just to find out something that he already knows about me. It doesn't make sense. But the enemy keeps repeating the same thing. And here, James continues saying this. Temptation comes from where? Where does temptation come?
Satan.
We always blame Satan for ever the things that we do, right? But James decides to put us in our place. Yes, Satan has his doing. He does his work. But what happens is that sometimes we try to have an easy way out. Oh, the devil made me do it, mommy. And that means it's not my responsibility. Somebody's been on trial right now because she murdered her children. And the whole trial is all about one thing. She did not know what she was doing. Or she heard a voice. Or it's because of the medication. Or it's because this female thing. Or is this. And this. Everybody works so hard to justify evil. Because when you justify evil, evil ceases to be evil. At least as an illusion. Temptation comes from, can you say it with me? Our own desires. If we control our will, Satan will never control us. The only time Satan comes into the picture is when he knows that we have no control on our will. Our will is for sale. And then Satan says, I'll buy it. With fake money, of course, but he will buy it. And many people fall for it. Which entice us and drag us away. Away from where? Away from God. From righteousness. And then verse 15, look what he says. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, allowed by whom?
Us.
By us. The same source where the desire comes from, the same one who opened the door for sin to come in, is the one who has the control what to do with sin. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to what? To the bite. And bites you. And this is a mega bite. A very destructive bite. A bite that brings death. And now that Jesus has suffered and was tempted, I mean, he can help anyone else who is tempted. Isn't that beautiful? We know that Jesus knows what temptation is all about. Jesus understands every weakness of ours. This was our text for today, because he was tempted in every way that we are. The difference is, he never surrendered his will to his own needs and desires. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow you the temptation to be more than what you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. No one have excuse to allow temptation to take place in your lives. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Do you know where you find this? Anybody? Anybody knows where this text comes from? Yes, or Lord's Prayer. Of course, in some of the versions, they have a, do not lead us into temptation. But it looks like a sound contradiction, because how can God lead us to temptation and then deliver us from the temptation that he lead us to? So this is the more precise version. And don't let us yield to temptation. God cannot stop the temptation, because God cannot violate our own freedom of choice. But he can say, if you want my help, I will be there for you. But you need to choose. And don't let us, the same verse, but rescue us from the evil one. In a Bible, please take your Bibles. There is a Bible right in front of you. Take a Bible. Open Matthew chapter 4. When you read in your Bible, some versions, again, it's a little bit assuming that the Spirit took Jesus, says, okay, Jesus, it's time for me to put you in the hands of the devil so the devil can have some fun with you. Not so. Jesus went to the desert to do what? To be tempted? Most of us assume that. No, he did not go to the desert to be tempted. Why you think if Jesus did not go to the desert to be tempted, why would Jesus go to the desert at this time? Yes, he went to get prepared for an event that was about to start in his life. Here's an example. All of us, we are about to buy a house. We are about to buy a car. We are about to change your profession. We are trying to move from one city to the other. How many days or how many hours, how many minutes do we spend praying with our Lord and ask him, give me direction. I needed to do your will. I am your kid. I need you to give me guidance. You know all the roads before I know. You create every path. You are the way. You are the truth. Please guide me. So Jesus said, I'm going to spend 40 days and 40 nights praying for strength, for wisdom, so that I can conduct this awesome task that I have to do wearing this heavy load called human nature. Yes, he put our uniform. Yes, the Creator came and put our uniform. And for 40 days and 40 nights, he was praying. He was fasting. Remember, no desire is more important than to be in the presence of God. Everything else is irrelevant. If you attain to be in the presence of God, everything else comes afterwards. And so Jesus stayed there for 40 days and 40 nights. Here is what verse 2 of Matthew 4 says. Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. After this, of course, guess what? He was hungry. Sometimes I spend 4 hours, 5 hours, I'm already hungry. He said, sometimes I hear young people say, oh, I'm dying. They probably have a half an hour without eating some junk, and they say, I'm dying, I'm so hungry. 40 days and 40 nights. The devil came to Jesus at this. Where was the devil then at this time? He was watching. He was waiting. Just like that lion that stays hidden on the bush. And here comes the impala. Here comes a zebra. And the lion keeps checking. Those some of you here from Africa, you know exactly what I'm talking about. He stays most of the time in the shade, conserving his energy, because he knows I can be fast, but for a short period of time. And that gazelle is yum yummy, but it's so fast. So I needed to be very, and he watched. And he goes down, and the color of his skin is just like the dry grass. It's very, and he stays also in a position when the wind would not give away that he is there. And he pay attention. And he noticed that there is an impala that is strong, and that one is, I can tell, is fast. But there is one that is careless. There is one that is not watching. It's like, no problem. That is the one. And if he sees that it separates from the group a little bit, even better. And he waits. And when the time comes, he goes for the food and he takes a bite. Some of us sometimes don't realize that because we choose to be careless, careless where we go, careless about who we relate to, careless about what we watch, what we read, what we listen to, we don't realize that the lion is measuring us up to come and take a bite. The devil came to Jesus to tempt him, saying, if, there you go, the if again, if you are the Son of God. I hope the devil doesn't come to any one of you and say, if you are a Seventh-day Adventist, prove it. And you know how the devil does? He may talk to your boss and get you fired just to shake things under your feet a little bit. And then he says, if you are truly a Seventh-day Adventist, if you're really a child of God, I dare you not to work on the Sabbath. Or you got a phone call. This wonderful friend of yours that is not a Seventh-day Adventist is coming to town. It's on the Sabbath morning. It needs to for you to go and pick him up or her up at 9:30 in the morning. And you don't even think, is that a coincidence? Why is on the Sabbath at 9:30? Does the time belongs to me? So I go and pick up the dear friend. Or I can say, dear friend, I have some very awesome appointment to make. After I'm done, I will be glad to go and pick you up after sunset. In the meantime, find a book, find something to do, and after sunset, I'll be glad to come and pick you up. That friend will go and read the Bible and find out what is this Sabbath all about. Tell these rocks to become bread. Command these rocks to become bread. Have you noticed the parallel between this and what Satan talked to Eve about? Take a bite. Prove. Take a bite. Jesus answered this. It is written in the scriptures. I like, if I would be making a translation of my own, I would be reading it like this. It is written in the Word, because the Word is God. It is written in the Word. A person lives not by bread alone, but by everything that God says. When you have a problem, a Sabbath problem, in your employment, in your job, or somebody may call you on the Sabbath to try to talk business with you, I want you to remember, a person does not live by bread alone, but the word that comes from God. Put God first above everything, family, members, everything. And believe me, you'll be blessed, and you'll be a blessing to everyone. Then the devil led Jesus to the holy city. Oh, he's religious, so let me take him to the holy city. What part of the holy city? Right there in the temple. Some people think that, oh, I'm a religious, the devil is going to leave me alone. Be careful, because the devil may come to church with you. That's what it says here. He says Jesus became, oh, the Bible. Okay, you're the Bible guy. So let's go to church. He took him to the temple, to the church. And there, what did he do? The devil said, if you are the Son of God, again, doubt, jump. Because it is written in the scriptures. Wow, the devil knows the scriptures too. But look what he did to the scriptures. He's doing exactly what all the beast and all the what the dragon is making all the churches believe. If you use the scriptures, all if you want to do is just twist a little bit to make it comfortable for you to be rebellious. He says, he has put his angels in charge of you. They will catch you in their hands so that you will not hit your foot on a rock. Do you know what this rock is? The devil. He's saying, God will protect you against me if you only commit suicide. Jump. And the Lord will send angels to catch you. By the way, there's nothing in a picture more devastating that stays in my mind. Just a few days before I came to the United States, I was in one of the largest cities in Brazil. I was with my cousin. He's still a lawyer, and he was helping me to all the paperwork in order to come to the United States. And so I was walking the streets going to a place. We were waiting for him. He invited me to go to a Seventh-day Adventist restaurant, one of the most delicious food that I ever eaten in my life. I went to this in the middle of downtown. So I was going there, and then a noise, a very loud noise. Very loud noise. Somebody, a lady, jumped from very high on one of the buildings and fell very close where I was. I saw the picture, and it stays so clear in our mind. It's so tragic. You know what a genes, Lee? Genes are extremely strong. But it was with the weight, it was torn like it was pulled like a little piece of paper. Why this person jumped, we have no idea. And there are a lot of people who make those choices. Here is Satan telling Jesus to do the same. Jump, and everything will be okay. He was misquoting Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12. Jesus answered him, it also says in the scripture, do not. The word test here in original is the same word in the other place called temptation. Do not tempt God. God tempts no one, and you should not tempt God either. Don't tempt. Don't take God for granted. Don't say, oh, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, God will protect me. So you start driving at 120 miles an hour. And there is a stop sign, but because God is with you, you go through. Now, that's not the way. You do not tempt God. When God tells you, don't do it, listen. Because if you don't listen, you will suffer the consequence. Then the devil led Jesus to the top of every high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. What was Satan trying to do now? Was offer him power. The devil said, if you bow down, now he goes straight to the point. That was his plan in the first. If you bow down and worship me, I will give you all these things. I'm going to do something here, you're going to get me in trouble. But when you become a pastor, sometimes your trouble just comes no matter what. People, I'm going to be soft, but still I'm going to say, people, be careful. Because idolatry, vanity is idolatry. You may say, oh, I wear this because I am used to it. Or I do this because I'm used to it. That is not a justification. Because if you are being dumb once, to be dumb is not a justification to be always dumb and dumber. If the Lord speaks to you that you're doing the wrong thing, have the courage to say, enough, I'm going to do the right thing with my life. Don't be the tempter in your life. Don't be the destroyer in your life. Don't destroy what God has created to be eternal. Don't bow down to anything. Don't put all those gold upon you. Invest that gold in the right place. Jesus said to the devil, go away from me, Satan. That's what he is. Because it is written, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Do not serve your stomach. Don't let your stomach become the boss in your life. Don't let vanity be the one who determines how you spend your money. Be wise, be productive. Don't allow your desires to be out of control so that you become a slave of your own desires. So the devil left Jesus, and the angels came and took care of him. Every single time that you submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You never be alone, because when the devil comes and you push him out, God's angels come in. Do you know why the God's angels come in only when the devil leaves? Because light and darkness cannot be at the same place. You cannot have both ways. You have to choose light in order to be light. Stay awake and pray for strength against temptation. The spirit wants to do what is right, but the body is weak. My brother Calvin talked last week about prayer, the power of prayer. And I'd like to say that this fits very well. Stay awake and pray for strength against temptation. The spirit wants to do what is right, but the body is weak, subject to temptation. That's Matthew 26:41. I hope that when you have to deal with all your trials in tribulation in life, when you have to deal with your desires, shape your desires to reflect God's will. Remember, if you act like God, you're going to be what God is. God will be in you and for you. Choose today to resist what is evil, so God can always have opportunity to be with you. God bless. And if you are expecting an apology for keeping you a little late, do not even think about it. Let's stand and sing together, please.